started this morning. What if I could show you the greatest opportunity for advancement in the kingdom of God that you could ever have? The greatest opportunity for advancement. Would you be interested? Okay. What if I could show you a way without manipulating God that you could get God's attention every single time without fail? Would you be interested? All right. Last question before we get started. How many of you would like to truly feel significant without feeling proud? How would you like that? There's a real tussle there, isn't there? There's a real problem where you want to feel significant, but you don't want to feel proud. So I'm going to help you. If you'd like an answer to those three, then you're in the right place today. I'm going to show you exactly how you can achieve that. I'm going to start off by talking a little bit about how I gained a new sense of value and significance. 10 years ago, when Jackie suffered the dramatic stroke, and I took on the responsibility of being her caretaker, I started to feel a new sense of significance, a new sense of value, a new sense of being important, a new sense of being wanted, a new sense of being needed. Jackie has always been very, very independent, and she's lived her entire life that way. She's never been selfish in any way. We had been married 27 years at that time. We'd been in the ministry 20 years already, and Jackie had unselfishly given herself to my vision in ministry, even though she never, ever wanted to be in ministry. And many people don't know that. She never, ever wanted to be in ministry. In fact, the only fights we ever had was about ministry. And the only time she ever wanted to leave me, of which there were three serious times, was about what?
The ministry.
The ministry. So it was a major sacrifice that she was making to help me fulfill what she believed God had. Because she loved me, she was helping me to fulfill God's call and purpose in my life. Okay? Now, she didn't do it with long teeth, if you understand that. Do you understand that term? Okay? She didn't do it that way. She did it willingly, and she sacrificed her entire life. In fact, as a mom, she sacrificed her salary from the church for 3 years to pay for Hayne and Cindy to go to college. That's how Hayne and Cindy went to college. She didn't take any salary. She took her entire salary and paid for them. Because how many of you know it's expensive to get kids to college? And especially if you didn't save up for it. And it gets by, what? $20,000? Are you kidding? I'm not buying the college. And now today it's even worse. So, when this event occurred and she was struck down and I took the responsibility of becoming her caretaker, I saw it as a great opportunity for me to give back to her what she had given to me. Because obviously her vision was now to get well, and it was my vision, for her to get well, to recover, and to get a quality of life. So she had a real strong vision and dream, and it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, put my dream on the back burner and focus on her dream. And it wasn't that I was thinking about me making personal sacrifice. All I did was I focused on her need and my ability to help with her need. So I never at one minute ever thought, well, you're sacrificing your life and you're giving it all up. And one of my dear friends actually said that to me. He said, well, I'm so concerned about you because one person has lost their life. Now you're sacrificing your life as well. And we're not that close anymore. Because obviously the person didn't understand that I was doing it as a joy. I was helping and serving and administering to her as a joy. You know, it wasn't a burden for me to do it. So here's the thing. Just because of my love responding to her and her need, don't you think we as believers ought to do the same thing towards Jesus, who did this amazing thing for us when we didn't know anything about it, and now we have an opportunity to return to him the love, to show him how much we care, what he suffered for us and everything he's gone through for us, now we have an opportunity with joy to come back and to serve him out of that attitude of gratitude, not because we're being forced to do it, but simply because we love him for what he did. How easy is that? Okay? So today I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to be part of the promise. And I want to remind you again of our mission statement, presenting the promises of God to produce personal progress. Our values here at the church are these, and we mentioned them last week. Here are the four values: to love, worship, and serve God, most important value, then to love and serve others. And it's like the two great commandments, love God and love other people. It's the same thing, love God, love other people, and then to be God's agents of change. God's agents of change simply means that when you come into a situation, that you change it for the better. That you change it for the better. If there is evil to be absorbed, absorb the evil, turn the other cheek, absorb the evil, and be Christ's representative in that situation. That's what I'm saying. We are God's agents of change. God wants to bring change in the world. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the ones bringing the change. We are bringing the fragrance of Christ. We are the ones bringing peace into a situation where there isn't peace. All right? We're the ones bringing the blessing when there's a curse. We're the ones bringing the finances when they're in financial difficulty. We are the ones that are helping. We're the agents of change. Follow? And then lastly, to be a blessing to others. Well, be a blessing to others goes along with being an agent of change and also goes along with the first one, serving others. But more importantly, being a blessing to others, I think in every way that you can possibly think of, that you want to be a blessing to others, whether you give time to somebody, whether you just love on somebody, whether you're there to put your arm around them, or whether you're there to financially help them to get through what they're going through. We ought to be a blessing to others. What does it help if we are so blessed of God and we aren't blessing to other people? Aren't we blessed to be a blessing? Yeah, we're blessed to be a blessing. So our values at this church is simply that, to be a blessing to others. All right, now, I'm going to show you how we can fulfill all of that very simply, mostly through serving others. We serve God by serving others. Do you know that? The Bible tells us you cannot say that you love God if you don't love your brother. It's that simple. If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. Period. We show that we love God by loving one another. By this will all men know that you are followers of Christ, my disciples, in that you love one another. All right? Now, I promise you something. You can tell me you love me all day, but until you show me, it's just words. Jackie would not be where she is today and in everything about her if I just lay around all day saying, I love you, sweetie. Sure love you. Right? Got to get in the shower with her and shower her. Had to spend 2 months in hospital in China sleeping on a board. Because that's what Chinese sleep on. And she thinks it's funny. I run away when they draw blood out of her. I can't watch. I can't watch any television show where they put a needle in and they draw blood. Freak out. When they have to draw my blood, I lie down. I go. When they rub that stuff on, I say, oh, that wasn't so bad. They said, we haven't taken it yet. Two black belts in karate, and you can't push a needle to me. They tried to do acupuncture for me in China, and I jumped up. First needle went in my back. I jumped up. That's it. That's it. Are you crazy? They're doing it to Jackie every day. I said, that's it. All little Chinamen standing this high. I'm standing looking over them. They're, you American baby. You American baby. I said, have you heard of Gulliver's Travels? So what's the deal? Here's the deal. When she had to have serious medical treatment and they were giving her lumbar punches in the back, I was the one holding her in the fetal position, staring at the needle, going into her spine, out of her spine, 45 minutes, 7 of those in 7 weeks. How did I manage to do that? Out of one thing, my love for her and her need. You understand that? If you love the brethren, you will serve God by serving people. There is no other way. Do not tell me you love your wife or your husband. Do not even mention it to me if you do not serve in that family. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Okay? All right. And if next week we only have half the crowd, that's okay too. All right. Now, we all face the same challenges. In this modern life in which we're living, we all face the same challenges. We all have the same limitations. Three limitations. This is what they are. Time, talent, treasure. We all have 24 hours in a day. Nobody has 25. And we all have lives to live. We've got to raise finances. We've got to take care of our needs. So we all have this problem. We have a limited time. Right? Everybody has limited time. So it is a great asset. Your time is a very, very important asset. That's the reason why we want to make sure that the church service is kept down to 90 minutes. Because it's your life. It's a very, very important time. You can't afford just to waste your life on a guy waffling all day. Talents. Talents. Nobody has 20 talents. When Jesus spoke about talents, he said 1, 3, and 5. Right? Nobody has 20 talents. Okay? Except, well. Nobody has 20 talents. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Depending just, you know, how talented we really are. But we are limited. And whatever you are, if you only have one talent, you know, like Brian was a surfer and that was the only talent he had. Depending on, you know, if you only have one talent, then that's fine. But you have to use that one talent. And if you don't use it, but you can't do more than your talent. If that's what it is, you can't do more than your talent. But you need to use all of your talent. It's not like, well, I only have one talent. Well, then if you're going to bury it, you're going to get in trouble. God's going to say, you buried it. Yeah, but I only had one. Doesn't matter. You buried it. Didn't use it. Okay. So it's not a matter of how many talents. It's a matter of do we use what we've got. Treasures. Treasures here, obviously, I think, refer to our finances. We have limited finances. I do not know one single Christian on the face of the earth that has $1 trillion. I don't think that I know a Christian that has $1 billion. I do know people that have a billion or more that are givers. One man I watched on television has $2 billion. He's giving it all away. Okay, so I do know that. And I would have to say that I think that God's got to be a Christian to be that charitable. Okay, but many, you know, I don't know anybody else. So we have limited resources. We have limited finances. Unless, as God gives it, we pass it on. But we use what we have for the kingdom. We use what we have. We serve God with our money, honey. Right? We can serve God with our money. Our money indicates what we're serving. Where we spend it determines what we're serving. So, but we're limited. In those three areas, we're limited. We're challenged. But now, since we all have the same challenge, since we all have the same limitations, the question is, how can we serve God in spite of those challenges? In spite of those limitations, what can we do to serve God? I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why we should do it and what we get as a reward for doing it. The first one is we serve because Jesus did. All right? In Luke 22 and verse 28, Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. Jesus was undoubtedly the greatest leader the world has ever seen. There is nobody that can compare with Jesus as a world leader. And yet he said that he came as a servant. He said, I'm among you as one who serves. God himself, incarnate in the flesh, said, I'm here to serve. Don't you think if anybody ever had the right to say, do what I say, do you get it? Move it. Do it. Just do it. Was him. Huh? I mean, he could have turned people into frogs. He could have done anything he wanted to, right? He had power. He was God. But he didn't. He chose to come as a servant. So if Jesus did, and he's our leader, then we ought to do it as well. Number two, because all true biblical leaders have servants' hearts. Throughout the Bible, every single true biblical leader had a servant's heart. In Philippians 2 and verse 7, Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. He took the form of a servant. He took the form of a servant, no reputation, completely humbled himself without reputation, right? So that he could minister as a servant in absolute humility. The Bible goes on to say, because he humbled himself like that, God has highly exalted him. That's what it says. See, we often think, well, you know, it was the cross. Yes, it was the cross. But the Bible says that he humbled himself unto death. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. It was the fact that Jesus went down in humility and servanthood that God promoted him to the level that he was promoted. The way up in Christianity is the way down. If you want to get promoted in Christianity, you have to become a servant. That's how you get promotion in the kingdom of God. Number three, because serving is actually my call to greatness. Most people, most Christians don't see that. They're so concerned about their own life, as we said last week, narcissistic, internal looking, I'm the center of my life, everything revolves around me, so that it's all about me. It's all about me. It's about me being happy. It's my comfort. It's you know, talk about what's happening in my life. That's the way it is. So my call to greatness is actually done through serving, because serving is the greatest opportunity for advancement you'll ever have in the kingdom of God. Brian, just to pick on you again. When we left Harvest and Heart of God Ministry started, they asked you if you would be part of the group that packed away, bought the stuff out, set up, packed away week after week, went to cut the vehicle and everything else. How many years did you do that?
At least three,
maybe even 4 years. And did you get paid to do that? No pay. Did you often miss meals? You often miss. Yep. After service, you'd miss the meal. You didn't finish. You would start sometimes on Saturday.
Yes.
You go and get the truck, park it at your house, unload at the church Saturday night.
Yes.
And then get to bed at what time in the morning after unloading and sitting up?
Well, we'd have prayer, so we'd
like late. Late Saturday night.
Yeah.
Early Sunday morning, you were at church.
Yeah.
And then pack up afterwards.
When
you got to the storage, you'd take it out the truck and load it up again in the storage, return the truck to the rental company, and got home what time in the afternoon?
3 or 4
in the afternoon. 3 to 4 years. And many times you missed your meals doing that. Today, he is the youth pastor of the church. He served in the kingdom without seeking any place, without seeking financial remuneration, without seeking anything, without asking anything from anybody, sacrificing. But today, God is saying, you have shown what you really are made of, and you were trusted with things that could be broken and replaced. And now you're going to be trusted with people's lives that are eternal. We talk about serving. Jesus said this in Matthew 23:11. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. See that? This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. This is one of the reasons I chose, when we founded this ministry, and I sat down, I prayed about what are the values of this church. I didn't call a group of people together to tell me what the value should be. I didn't have a 6 months meeting of elders and leaders to tell me what we think the values of this church should be. I went to the Bible, I read the Bible, and I said, Jesus said that if you want to be great in the kingdom, humble yourself and serve. So I said, that's a value. The promised church will be filled with humble servants, and God will exalt them because of it. Yeah? Okay? That's all there is to it. So since Jesus set up the principles, I simply chose them and said, we'll make that a value. That's going to be important. If it's important enough to God, if it's important enough of God to say, if you will serve somebody else, I, God Almighty, will exalt you, then I want all of you to be exalted. And I'm doing it for your benefit. I'm not going to teach a success principle. My success principle is serve. That's Jesus' success principle. Okay? All right. So, number four. Because serving allows us to have our light shine. Now, this is an interesting thing. I've heard it so many times. In fact, I'm guilty of saying it as well. Oh, Lord, I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to see Jesus in me. And I know that you've said it as well. Okay? You want? Well, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. Say that with me. So that they will see your good works. Say it again. So that they will see my good works. How many times have we been told, don't let anybody see your good works? Don't let anybody see what you're doing. Because then you're proud. Don't blow your trumpet. Don't let anybody see what you're doing. But that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, let everybody see your good works. What? Yes, he did. Right here, the scripture. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and, what will they do? And glorify who? God the Father. You see, here's the thing. We're to do the good works but not receive the glory. That's the problem. When we do the good works, we're not to be proud about it and receive the praises of men and receive the glory for doing it. We're to do it and then point those people to Jesus and say, it is Jesus is the reason I'm doing the works. I'm doing it for him and unto him. Not to be receiving praise from man for what I do. Yet, we influence man by doing the good works because they end up giving glory to God. Do you know how those children in India and the people in the Philippines are thanking God for us and they've never met us? Yes. They say, oh God, how is it that those people could care for us and love us? Who are we that you could touch their hearts and they could, you know what it is? God, thank you that, this is what they're saying. God, thank you that you love us so much. Yes. That's what they're saying. Yeah. They are turning our actions of love into thanks to God for his love because they see it as an act of love. They see it and interpret it as God loves them. I'm going to tell you a personal story. A man came to me, he loves to play golf, and I love to play golf. And he said to me, you know, I would love to take care of a pastor's complete salary and all the expenses that he has. I'd love to do that. So I said, are you telling me something? He said, I'm just not in the position to do it now. But you know what? I think I'm in the position financially to take care of your golf. I'd like to start there. I said, what? Nobody in my entire life has ever done that for me. Anything like that. And I said, you want to pay for me to go out and then do the thing that I love the most, play golf? I was so stunned. When I came home and told Jackie, I said, do you know that God told me today how much he loves me? That's what I said. That he loves me so much, he's going to pay for my golf. I was blown away. And we're not talking about hundreds of dollars. We're talking about $40 a week. It was the gesture of God saying, son, I don't mind if you play golf. In fact, I get a kick out of watching you hit the ball all over the place and praying so much. I'm going to pay for you to go out there and do it every week. Can you see what I'm saying? Okay, you need to understand where I'm coming from with this thing. It's not necessarily hundreds of thousands of dollars that we do. It can be small things. I gave glory to God for that act of love toward me. So, serving has rewards. Number five, serving has rewards. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Heartily as to the Lord, not to men. We're not doing it for men, we're doing it for the Lord. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Now notice this. What we do, we're doing for men, but not unto men. We're doing it unto the Lord. Whatever we do, we're doing it unto the Lord. God rewards us for what we do, but we do it to his body. Didn't he say, if you give a cup of cold water in my name? You're doing it. Whatever you do for the least of these, you've done for me. That's what he said. So we can love Christ by loving his body. Now, we do it heartily. Notice that. Heartily means with excitement, with enthusiasm, with a smile on our face. We do it like, yay, I get to do this. In my previous church here in San Diego, there was an elderly couple. They were Dutch and Indonesian, so they could speak Dutch. And since we can speak Dutch, we used to call them Oma and Opa, which is, I'm sure you can interpret that as grandma and grandpa, okay? And they were in the church a short while, maybe 2 or 3 months, and they walked in, and Jackie was cleaning the toilets and picking up the trash in the church. She was in there, it was during the week, and she was, you know, we were vacuuming, and Jackie was cleaning the toilets, and she was picking up the trash, and they walked in, and he was dressed in an overall, you know? He used to wear the overall. That was just like it was his going out suit. And they said, we want to take over doing this. And we said, why would you want to do this? He said, you're the pastors. You have other things to do. We'll clean the church. We'll clean the toilets. We'll do the trash. And they did that until the church was too big and we had to hire a corporation to come in and do it. Church was just too big for them. Come to find out, we went to visit their home. And we went to visit them in their home. And he was already in his 60s, mid-60s. And we said to Omar, you know, where's Opa? Well, he's out cleaning the street. I thought he'd lost his mind. I thought it's Alzheimer's, it kicked in, you know, he was out cleaning the street. I said, what do you mean? She said, he cleans the street every day. I said, you're kidding me. No. I went outside, he was wearing his overalls, he had a big broom, and he was sweeping the gutter of the street. He swept his neighborhood street every day, up and down the other side. I want to ask you this question. Do you think he had a testimony amongst the neighbors? And when he died, do you think they came to his funeral? He wasn't a great preacher. He wasn't a huge giver. He was a street sweeper. But in actual life, he was a draftsman, like architectural, that's what he used to do. It wasn't that he wasn't educated. It's just that he had a heart to serve. I can't wait to get there and to be pushing the wheelbarrow with these crowns in it. Because I'm telling you, phenomenal. Okay, so, from the Lord receive the inheritance. What you do in secret, the Bible says, God rewards you openly. So now I'm talking about the open reward for what you do in secret. So there's things that we can do in secret that God rewards us openly, and yet at the same time, we can also do it publicly. Okay? For example, some of the secret things that we do in this church is the early morning setup. It's a secret thing because nobody's here at that time in the morning when they do the setup. It's just hard work. Another secret thing is putting up the signs on the street, giving direction to come to church. It's a secret thing. Nobody sees you doing it. You're going out there, you're working, you're doing it in the background, you know. And then that's all there is. You pick it up afterwards. Nobody's out there patting you on the back. Well, look what a great person you are. No, no, no. You're just doing it in the secret. But you know what? God rewards you openly. So in other words, if you want to get God's attention, you do something of service. And even if you do it in secret, he will reward you openly for it. Wow. Yeah. Through serving. There's not one act of serving that you ever do on earth that goes unnoticed. God notices. Doesn't miss his attention. All right. See, we're serving Christ. We're serving Christ, for you serve the Christ, and you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Whatever inheritance is coming to Christ, you will receive. Number six, why do we serve? Why should we serve? Because serving connects me with like-minded people. Servers always are connecting with like-minded people. And it's a joy to be around people that serve. There's no pushing or shoving. It's like, can I help you? What can I do for you? Can I carry your coat? Can I get the door? You know, when we arrive at church, usually Paul comes out there, meets me in the garage when we're parking. Can I carry something for you? Can I get your case or do something for you? Serving. Doesn't wait around to get a huge pat in the back. Just out there, can I get something from you? Can I help you? Bring it on in and carry on. Okay? So this, sometimes it's just small things. You don't know, just small things. But we meet people who have a passion for the same thing. We connect to people who have the passion for the same things. All right, number seven, because serving helps me progress in my journey. We're talking about how you can progress in your journey as a Christian. It helps me to mature. It helps imperfect Christians to mature. And how many of you know we all start off imperfect? All right? We all start off imperfect. And how many of you know that we're probably going to die imperfect? But en route, we get an opportunity to mature. In other words, you start to do less and less and less imperfect things. That's what begins to happen. You do less and less and less and less imperfect things. So you offend less and less and less people in your life. And you make other people more and more pleased to be around you. So serving, what it does, it helps you to mature. It helps you to grow in the things of God. The way up, as I said, is the way down. All right. It demonstrates my faithfulness. Demonstrates my faithfulness whenever I serve. Remember, Jesus said, the one who had been faithful with the five talents, he said, take the talent away from the first guy and give it to the second guy. There's another story told where Jesus speaks about 1, 5, and 10 talents. And again, he said, take the talent from the one and give it to the guy who has 10. And then he said, there's going to be a lot of crying when we get to heaven. A lot of crying, a lot of weeping. And the question is, why would you take one from the one guy and give it to the guy with 10? He said, because it's going to be taken from the person that wasn't faithful with it, and it's going to be given to the person who was faithful. If you want something done, find a faithful person, and it'll get done. And that's the way it is. All right? So God is looking to see who is faithful. And if you serve, according to the way I understand something, it demonstrates that I am faithful by serving. I'm committed. I'm there every day, every Sunday, whatever that's time you can count on me. I'm faithful. So it helps me to demonstrate my faithfulness. Faithfulness is accomplishing as much as possible with the resources and talents God has given me. Faithfulness is accomplishing as much as possible with the resources and talents God has given me. So, faithfulness gives me the opportunity to use my time, my treasures, and my talents. serving is a success. Let me say it this way. Success as a Christian is bearing as much fruit as possible, given your talents, opportunities, and potential. Success is achieving as much fruit as possible. In other words, Christ doesn't expect you to produce more fruit than you can, but he does expect you to produce all the fruit that you can. I'll say that again. He doesn't expect you to produce more fruit than you can, but he does expect you to produce all the fruit that you can. And one of the things that he'll do is he'll prune the tree in order to produce more fruit. It's the pruning we don't like. Yeah? It's the pruning we don't like. So God is at work in us to produce more fruit. That's what he wants in us. Okay? And if we aren't producing it, he will prune. He will prune and prune. And listen, no pruning is ever pain-free. There's pain attached to that pruning. Because whenever you have to change, there's usually pain attached to the change. Okay. All right. So, last one. Serving demonstrates that Christianity works. Serving demonstrates that Christianity works. What am I saying here? The world is not asking this question. The world is not asking the question, is Christianity true? Do you know that? They're asking, does it work? Today, people want to know, tell me what works. No matter what sphere of life, tell me what works and I'll do it. That's it. Tell me what works. They're not saying, tell me if Christianity is true. They say, does it work? Does it really work? Can I apply it in my life today? And serving is a proof that Christianity works. So, let me ask you this, and we're finished. How will you feel if you were connected to the promise and you were serving at the promise in some capacity? How would you feel? I believe with all of my heart you'd feel loved, you'll feel significant, and you'll feel fulfilled. We were created in God to serve. If we do not serve, we cannot have the feeling of significance. We cannot feel fulfilled. We will feel empty. We will feel lost. We'll feel like, what am I supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be doing something. Unless you are fulfilled, unless you are serving, you will not feel fulfilled. I believe you will feel loved. You will feel significant. Each time you give your time, energy to other people, you are modeling Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life, his time, everything to other people. Serving God is serving other people. The greatest opportunity is to serve someone else. The greatest feeling you can ever have. This is a unique expression that we have. A unique opportunity to experience and know that God is in fact alive and that we can impact somebody else's life. You know, witnessing to somebody that Jesus is true and alive and risen from the dead and is God is something we need to do. But I tell you something, I have spoken to many people, I've asked them, you know, do you know who Jesus is? And they said, no. Well, Jesus died for you. Uh-huh. So? Well, the Bible is true. And so what? It's like there's just like no impact. We were discussing this yesterday. You were speaking to some young people about the end times. And they thought you were talking about a movie, a sci-fi movie. It had nothing to do with like, what is that, you know? I mean, I spoke to a whole group of young kids the other day, and I asked them, how many of you believe in hell? And some put their hands up. I said, how many of you believe in heaven? And the other group put their hand up. And then one kid put their hand up and said, well, do we have option C? What is that? You have option C. Well, if I don't believe in heaven, don't believe in hell, is there something else? I'm looking at the kid, I'm saying, you obviously have no clue about the Bible, because if that's, you think there's an alternative, I don't want to believe in hell, don't believe in heaven, believe in something else. That's where they're at. But when you serve, you impact their life. It's unmistakable. You have a great opportunity to impact somebody's life. It's a unique opportunity. Let me finish with one more story. As you know, a stroke affects part of the brain, left or right side, and the opposite side of the body is affected, becomes weak, usually paralyzed. In Jackie's situation, the left side of her brain was damaged, right side of it became weak. Okay. Now, she often has pains in the side that's working, in her back and that kind of stuff, that is active, but no pain in the side that's not active, which is a good thing, because sometimes a pain switch gets thrown on to some people and they have pain and there's nothing they can do about it. Just they can't switch the pain switch off. But the pain that she experiences on this side is because of this side overworking. It's having to do twice the amount. Everything she opens and shuts, everything she picks up, everything she eats, one hand. She has one hand to do it. So I'm very cautious. I said, don't overwork that one hand. Because if you get a problem with this hand, then you have no hands. So don't overwork it. So be careful with it. But she has to overwork this side of the body because it's carrying the weight. As she pushes herself up out of the chair, she gets out of bed, she rolls from this side, everything's this, because the half is not working. Let me say this to you. What I don't want to happen in the Promised Church is that we have half of the body working and the other half of the body carrying the load and being stressed out and being burnt out, because half the body won't do its part. We are not going to have a paraplegic church. We are not going to have a deformed church. Listen carefully to me. It may be uncomfortable for you to sit here, but rather be uncomfortable hearing me than hearing your Lord say to you, "You said, Lord, Lord, but depart from me, I didn't know you. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord." No, 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 no. Don't say that because you didn't do what I asked you to do. Yeah? Is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Okay? So please, listen carefully to me. The lukewarm are going to be spewed out of his mouth. The lukewarm are going to get spewed out the mouth of God. I want to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody at the Promise. And so I may have turned a little fire under your butt, and that's okay. Rather a little fire under your butt than you be thrown into the whole fire. See? You may hate me, but that's okay. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do, God loves me, and he will bless me for it and pay for my golf. And obviously he's happy with it. Otherwise he wouldn't be paying for my golf. Okay? So hear me carefully. I love you intensely, and I want you to be blessed of God and to receive the greatest reward possible. Therefore, I cannot permit you to sit here and not do anything. Because those that are working are caring too much and will burn out and will leave. And then I'll be left with a half that don't do anything. Rather the half that doesn't do anything go, then I'll be left with the whole church of servant-hearted workers that are tithing, and we can have a party because we'll clean up after ourselves. Okay? So, there's opportunities for you to serve in this church. It's a great adventure I'm offering you to be part of. I want to be part of this great adventure. It is something bigger than me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and his body. It's about raising up a church that will love Jesus and love God's people more than they will love themselves and their own desires. The end time church is going to be the exact opposite of what's happening in the end time world. And last week we read to you, the end time world is going to be self-centered, selfish, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The end time church is going to be lovers of God, lovers of people, not lovers of pleasure, and not people who confess Christianity but deny the power. They will have people who are walking in the power, walking in the blessings, walking in the prosperity, serving God and being raised up by God. That is where this church is going. And if you want to be part of it, and you want to be blessed of God, and you want to receive reward of God, then this is where you need to be. If not, I bless you on your way. take your tent down, and go home. You hear me? We love you, and we'll keep loving you from a distance. But we're going to move on with God. We're going to move on, and you know what? We're going to do what's right for the right reason. I take care of Jackie because it's the right thing to do. And I do it for the right reason. And I feel blessed in what I do. And if I can get a church that will love Jesus and serve one another because it's the right thing to do, then we will feel that love and that fulfillment and that significance. Amen? Amen. All right. So, number of opportunities for you to get involved, whether from administration or children's church or communications on the internet or greeting people, nursery, sitting up road signs, bunches of things. There's no reason for somebody to say, well, there's nothing for me to do. There's always something for you to do. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to hear from your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us, for stirring us up, and for encouraging us, Lord, because we know that you openly want to bless and reward us. And so today, Lord, we set our heart in agreement. We set our heart in agreement to do what you've said in your word because we love you. Lord, we'll give that glass of water to somebody who's thirsty. Lord, we'll show your love and let our light shine so that you can be glorified in our deeds. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. It's about us being disciples and loving one another. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your word, for your instruction today. And we take it to heart. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let me ask you now.